Good morning, church. How's everybody this morning? Hallelujah. I like that. Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody involved in the service here today, to our sound booth worship team and teachers and Sunday school teachers and everybody. What a blessing, truly. And just thank you for the prayers and all the love you've shown Cindy and I as well. We really appreciate it, and it's super nice to see you all here. And if you're new to our church, then I would like to welcome you. Welcome here today. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, and we'll get into the Word of God. Father, we thank Thee for Your goodness. Lord, thank You for Your love and Your mercy that You bestow upon us daily. Lord, we're sinners. Lord, we make mistakes. Lord, we're broken. But Lord, You love us despite of our brokenness. And we praise You for that. Lord, we ask that You show up in our sanctuary today, that Your Spirit would move. Lord, that hearts would be changed, lives would be changed, Lord, and You would be glorified. We love You, Lord Jesus. And we give these things to You, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up our sermon series on courage, faith and courage. And I think I have one more left for you, and we'll be getting on to our Christmas sermon series that I'm looking forward to preparing as well. And again, it's just wonderful to see you all here this morning, and you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9. And if you don't have your Bibles, the scriptures will be up on the screen for you all. Do you know why the book of Matthew is placed first in the New Testament? Ooh, there's a question for you. Some people know, some people don't, right? Well, it was chosen in the canon of scripture to go first because this book makes a smooth transition out of the Old Testament and into the New. You see, they say, most scholars believe, and they say that the book of Matthew was written to the Jew. And you see, that doesn't mean we can't glean anything from it. That's not what I'm saying here. We certainly can. But it has so much meaning in the book of Matthew, and it really goes into a beautiful genealogy. And then it goes into scriptures and prophecies fulfilled of the coming Messiah. You know, when the Lord called Matthew, he was a publican. And those of you who do not know what a publican is, it's a tax collector. And as a tax collector, he became born again, saved, accepted Jesus. And next thing you know, he becomes one of the 12 disciples. Matthew left his profession as a tax-collecting, money-hungry extortioner, right? That's what most of them were, to follow Jesus and to preach the gospel. Matthew had a specific goal in mind when he wrote the gospel, to convince people, Jews especially, that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah. He was the Messiah referred to in the Old Testament. He was the fulfillment of them prophecies. You see, he gave very strong genealogy evidence as well and showed that prophecy after prophecy that Jesus fulfilled them. And it proved that he was, like I said, the Messiah spoken about, promised in the Old Testament. Matthew really pushes the point that Jesus was the culmination of thousands of years of promises, and it was found in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. You see, Matthew shows that despite over 400 years of silence, God's plan was still intact. You see, there was 400 years there of silence. And then here comes Matthew, here comes the book of Matthew, here comes Jesus Christ the Messiah. Matthew's name in the Greek is Matthaios, and in the Hebrew it is Matthai. And his name means this, gift of God, gift of God. The title of today's message is Matthew's Courage to Resign and Redefine. Resign and redefine. You know, sometimes in our lives, we resign and redefine. For example, if we come to the conclusion that we're overweight, okay, overweight. By the way, I have not come to that conclusion yet, if you're wondering. And we decide to resign from careless living, careless eating, right? We're going to push the cake aside, push the ice cream aside, and then we're going to say, okay, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to start looking after myself. I'm going to start eating better and maybe exercising. I'm going to redefine myself. Well, in our marriages, if they're broken, we decide to resign from the old ways. What ways broke our marriage? You know, what did we do to help to break our marriage? So we come to the conclusion that we're going to resign them things that broke our marriage, and we're going to redefine them by possibly going for counseling. You know, maybe if your spouse doesn't know the Lord, you pray that they come to know the Lord. And then next thing you know, you fall in love again. And Cindy and I, over the years, we have done extensive marriage counseling. And we have seen broken marriages. They didn't succeed. But we also seen marriages come back together again. And what a beautiful thing it is to see that. Redefined marriage. You know, sometimes we resign from our profession, from our job, our career. And then we say, no, I'm not doing that no more. I'm going back to school. I'm going to learn something new. And then you learn something new. You redefine your life. You get a new job, new career. You're redefined. You see, this is what happened to Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew. He resigned and redefined himself as a follower of Jesus Christ. Point number one, Jesus says to Matthew, these are beautiful words, follow me. You see, Matthew's call is described in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 9, and this is what it says. And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. This is huge. I think we can read this and just sometimes just bypass portions of scripture, not even think twice of what's going on here. This is huge when this takes place. You see, this same story appears in the Gospel of Mark and Luke, but the tax collector in those stories, in them Gospels, his name is Levi, the son of Alphaeus. And you see, he's mentioned as this tax collector too. But you know, when you see this Matthew, same guy, Levi and Matthew, same guy. You see, there is a verse that comes to mind concerning Matthew and his call, and it's found in Luke chapter 5, verse 32. And it says this, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, Jesus knew exactly what was going on in Matthew's life and in his heart. He knew the man he was. He knew exactly the life he was living as an extortioner, a liar, a thief, whatever he was. Jesus knew it all. And yet he shows up. Matthew was, in fact, that sinner. Matthew was lost in his sin. You see, Charles Spurgeon said this, there may be some sins of which a man cannot speak, but there is no sin which the blood of Christ cannot wash away. Okay, come on. I heard two amens. Thank you. You're allowed to say that here. You know that, right? All right, moving on. Point number two, Matthew, the tax collector. And I want to just dig into this for a moment because I want to set the stage of the story so you understand what's going on here. In Matthew 10:3, it names him. It says Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew, the what? Tax collector, right? And James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. But he's mentioned here as the tax collector. So the question today is this, why is Matthew's call to follow Jesus so significant and meaningful in the scriptures? You see, it starts with his career, truly. I Google searched, just for curiosity's sake, what are some of the worst jobs that people truly hate and people hate you for? And this is what it came up with. The common examples of frequently disliked professions include telemarketers. All right, don't say amen. You did good there. Okay. Politicians, debt collectors, hence tax collectors, right? And then the next one is journalists. And you know, some people, you know, truly hate these people. This is what Google says. But let's go back in time and go back to the New Testament early on. And let's go back to what people hated then, and then you ask that question. It says this, what was the most hated job in Bible times? The answer was the most hated job during the New Testament Bible times in the Roman-occupied Jewish territory was that of a tax collector. You got it. Man, you guys are not only good-looking, you're smart. All right. Wikipedia said this. Tax collectors in the Bible were reviled by the Jews of Jesus' day. Reviled. Hated. Reviled. They were disgusting in their sight because of their perceived greed and collaboration with the Roman occupiers, I should say. Tax collectors amassed personal wealth by demanding tax payments in excess of what Romans levied of them, and keeping the difference for themselves, and in turn making them very wealthy. So if you can imagine you're poor, let's just say you're poor, you're scraping nickels, and yet you got to go and pay your taxes. And here you walk by this tax collector's house and it's opulent. He's feasting. He's living it up. And then you know the amount of taxes you need to pay are such and such amount. And then you get to his table and he goes, no. This much. Well, that's too much. Why am I paying the extra? For me. The rest is for me. They were hated for this. Absolutely detested for it. So imagine being Matthew for a moment, getting up every morning with a sick stomach, truly, getting dressed, washing your face, brushing your teeth, eating some breakfast, drinking your coffee or tea or what have you, packing a lunch, kissing your wife and children goodbye, and walking out the door into the street filled with your countrymen that absolutely hate your guts and detest the ground you walk on. Then who call you out openly in front of everyone as a thief, an embezzler, a traitor. And you're a man that is loyal to the Romans, so you are in fact a traitor. You can't even call yourself a Jew. You're an enemy of the Jews. Then you get to work. You set up your table. You start to charge your own people taxes, you know, for a foreign government that was going to take the majority of the money out of Israel and use for their own conquests or what have you. All the while adding your markup on all the money so that you can be comfortable in life. This is all the while people are coming up to your tax table and calling you the lowest to the lowest. You know, the paranoia, guilt, pain, and regret in Matthew's heart must have been truly overwhelming. Can you imagine going and doing a job like that day in and day out, knowing that you're absolutely detested? That would be hard. Then all of a sudden, you hear these words, follow me. You know, this is all the while these people are doing these things. Then all of a sudden, a Jewish man comes up to you out of the blue. He looks at you. He's got love, mercy, care, compassion, and concern in his eyes for you. And he says these two wonderful and majestic words, follow me. I'm not judging you, Matthew. Follow me. You know, I'm not calling you what other people are calling you. Follow me. You know, I'm not condemning you. Just follow me. Come. Come to get to know who I am. You see, them two words, follow me, they must have been wonderful to hear. Wonderful. Then you think of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And this is where Matthew was when he heard them words, truly. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew, there's rest right there. His name's Jesus. You're going to find it in that guy. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly. I am gentle. I'm not condemning you. I am gentle and I am lowly. And I will give you rest. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. And my burden, Matthew, is light. The heaviness of this world that you're experiencing right now, Matthew, follow me. And I'm going to take that from you. Point number three, the courage to forsake all. First thing Matthew does is he courageously turns his back on the Romans and leaves the Roman soldier security detail. Truthfully, it is believed that they were the ones that protected the Jewish tax collectors to actually keep them alive, because Romans would sooner a Jew deal with a Jew, not a Roman with a Jew. So they had to keep them alive, because if they didn't, they'd probably be dead, a lot of them. They'd probably be killed on their way home from work. So here we have Matthew. He was called by Jesus. And what does Matthew do with his call? Well, let me say this first. Soldiers probably hung around soldiers. And I know some of my really good friends are police officers. And guess who they hang around? Police officers. And you often see in the medical profession that nurses will hang around nurses and doctors around doctors. And the list goes on. Now consider this. If you were a hated tax collector, if you were absolutely detested and hated, who would your friends be? Tax collectors, right? Probably other tax collectors and sinners that you could gel with, hang with. Hey, were you hated today? Yeah, oh yeah, this guy said this to me, this girl said this. Oh, me too, yeah, let's chat about these things, right? Probably hung out all together on a regular basis because them were their only friends. So other than tax collectors and sinners, you know, these people, they hung around together. So here we have these people hanging around together, and Matthew has the courage to do something. What we all should be doing, truthfully, what every one of us should be doing. Matthew calls together all his tax collectors, friends, sinners, family, and what does he do? Come to my place for a dinner at my house. Come. I want you here. Because I want to introduce someone to you so that they can listen to the words of Jesus. Luke 5:29 tells us this, and Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there, Levi is Matthew, I'll say it again, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them, chilling, maxing, relaxing. It didn't, when it says reclining, they were reclining, they were relaxing. It doesn't sound like they were uptight, that they were being judged, that they were being told off, that they were, no, they were reclining with Jesus. Point number four, the courage to identify with Jesus. Matthew 9:10-12, it tells us this. And as Jesus reclined at the table in his house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and the disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, those who just love to cast judgment, who love to point fingers, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know, isn't that cunning and crafty and satanic in origin? Do you ever have people like that in your life that would just sow them seeds of doubt? Say something that would penetrate your heart so that your mind is thinking of that thing, right? And this happens. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician. And I could just see Jesus doing this. But those who are sick. These, right here, these people sitting with me, those who are sick. Matthew found out who Jesus was, and he no longer cared about his community standing, his estate, his income, or even his job. He just wanted his compadres to be introduced to Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the Messiah. He wanted his friends to know who he was introduced to. But he started with the tax collector friends and sinners. Matthew started somewhere. He started somewhere. You and I need to start somewhere. Matthew had the courage to identify with Jesus and his disciples. He had the courage to say to his friends, even though they may reject it, come, listen. Can you imagine if we all did this here in this church? We'd be building on in a year. If every one of us did that to our co-workers, our friends, come, come and listen. Listen what the Lord has to say to you. I want you to meet Jesus. So who was Matthew courageously sharing? The Bible says this about the one he was sharing. Jesus stood up in the synagogue and opened up the book of Isaiah. If you can imagine this, here's another Old Testament reference here. And he opens up the book of Isaiah. And in Luke 4:18, it says this. Jesus rolls this scroll out to the book of Isaiah. He prepares himself to read this in front of religious leaders, people, sinners, whoever. And this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's talking about himself here. Me. This is like 700 years in the difference. 700 years before this was written, and Jesus rolls his scroll out, and this is what he says of him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the Matthews of the world, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Matthew, Matthew, the sinners. After Matthew had the courage to leave his post, all of a sudden he had a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and in turn left everything behind. Matthew's identity changed in a moment. Found this illustration when the wife of missionary Adoniram Judson told him that the newspaper article likened him to some of the apostles. Judson replied, "I do not want to be like Paul or any mere man. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow him only, copy his teachings, drink in his spirit, and place my feet in his footprints. Oh, to be more like Jesus." Point number five. From detested to despised. Matthew truly went from detested for his career and his conduct to despised for who he was now following. Are you despised for following Christ? I am. I know I am. I left my family in Prince Edward Island behind. I was absolutely, Cindy and I were blacklisted. We turned our backs on Roman Catholicism. We turned our backs on them. How could you leave business and family and wealth and prosperity and houses and stuff? How could you do that? Well, Jesus called. Called me. Called us. It's time to go. I'd sooner serve the King of Glory than these things that are perishing and worth nothing in the light of eternity. And in Luke 21:15-17, it says this, "For I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you, they will put you to death. Matthew was willing to be hated for being a follower of who he identified with, and that was Jesus Christ. Matthew's strength and his weaknesses before he met Jesus. Matthew, speaking of weaknesses, he was greedy. He thought money was the most important thing in his life, and he violated even God's laws to enrich himself at the expenses of his countrymen. He truly did. But Matthew was an accurate record keeper, and he knew the human heart and the longings of the Jewish people. He was loyal to Jesus, and once committed, he never wavered in his faith for Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers was quoted in saying, "The Christian life is one of spiritual courage and determination lived out in our flesh." You see, Matthew lived and preached the gospel till his dying breath. I read the Fox's Book of the Martyrs often about the apostles and what happened to them and the saints. Excellent book. If you don't got it, it's in my office. I'll lend it to you, but give it back. I'm missing lots of books. All accounts tell the story of Matthew living in Ethiopia, and King Hystaspes had Matthew arrested while he stood teaching in his church. He was dragged outside and nailed to the ground by short spears and beheaded. He died in 66 AD. And here is a quote I found. What is the life lesson? It's for you and I. What is a life lesson? God can use anyone to help him in his work. We should not feel unqualified because of our appearance, lack of education, or even our past. Jesus looks for sincere commitment. We should also remember that the highest calling in life is serving God, no matter what the world says. Money, fame, and power cannot compare with being a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Good, better. So if you are not sold out to Jesus and his ministry, is today the day for you to commit everything to Jesus? Your life, your family, your finances, your future, is today the day to commit them to Christ? Isn't it funny how Jesus called the low lives and the despised? He did over and over again. Or what Hillary Clinton would call the deplorables. You've heard people say that of groups of people. They're called cultural misfits. For example, Gentiles. It's you and I, folks. Fishermen, lepers, the blind, the demon-possessed, prostitutes, adulterers, shepherds, and now the culturally despised tax collector that in his past life had put character and ethics aside to work for the enemies of the Jews, who were the Romans. And I ask you this question today. And you don't think God can use you to stand up and be courageous in the day and age in which we live? Well, I am here to tell you today, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Matthew's courage to resign and redefine, he chose Jesus. Folks, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage. And you who wait for the Lord, all you who wait for the Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul, for showing up when I needed you most." I was a former alcoholic, drug addict. When Jesus showed up, I was literally 1 year from death. Within that year, I would be dead. I was breaking out in hives, swollen, hardly walk. The alcohol I was drinking, poisoning myself to death. The Lord took my father home at 52, and Jesus showed up. And he said, Curtis, follow me. Follow me. And I haven't regretted that for a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation, Lord. We praise you today. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Thank you for the story of Matthew and how you showed up in his life. Lord, we don't know where Matthew was at the moment you showed up. He could have been at his last wit, his last day on earth. And Lord, you showed up. And you said them glorious and wonderful words of follow me. Lord, I'm wondering today, is there someone in this sanctuary, perhaps even listening online, that haven't accepted you, Lord, as Savior yet? I know, Jesus, you're showing up and you're saying to them, follow me. So what is hindering you from following? Confess your sins to Jesus. Forsake them, leave them behind. Follow the King of Glory. Ask him to save you, to redeem you, to justify you, to make you holy because he is holy. Maybe today is that day of salvation. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and we give the rest of this week to you. In Christ's holy and perfect name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.